One summer many years ago, whenever I was a kid, I spent the summer with my grandfather. And my grandfather, his passion was fishing. And he was a great fisherman. And my grandfather was old school, and so the car that he had to go fishing in that was good for being stinky and having fish and having fishing rods and all of the gear that went with it had no AC. And in the summer in Texas, okay, you with me so far? No AC. And was a little kind of a second chance car. Let's see how many chances it's got left every time we went out to go fishing. But I remember one time, and I believe it's the longest fishing trip that I ever had. My grandfather lived in San Antonio, spent a few weeks with him one summer, and one morning he said, "Hey, we're going to go out fishing today," and I was excited. It was just going to be me and him, and we were going to go out in his old green Gremlin car, and without AC, with the windows down, and I was really excited about it. And we loaded up everything, we jumped in the car, and we had been driving for a while, and I was thinking to myself, wow, my grandfather really knows all the sweet spots to be able to go fishing. And I kept seeing that we were taking turns that I wasn't expecting, until after several hours on the road, I realized we were headed to the coast. And that's where I'm from, South Texas coast, south of Houston. We were headed down south of Galveston, Freeport area, and my grandfather did not tell me when we jumped in the car that morning that we were going to be traveling across Texas, literally to drive all day, throw our lines out in the water for a few hours until we were able to have just enough time to get back and make the long trip back home at the end of the day. So I don't know what your fishing trips are quite like, but I do remember, even though that was kind of an unexpected and much longer, you know, when you're a kid, 1 hour in the car seems like an eternity, right? So when we spent several hours going one way and then several hours going back, I remember thinking, in the heat and everything, am I going to survive this? But when I look back on that, I look back at that trip very fondly because it was one of the longest days that my grandfather and I spent together, just one-on-one, just the two of us. And it was doing the thing that he was most passionate about and meant a lot to him. And so it meant a lot to me as well. It's interesting when we come to our text here in John chapter 21, that John adds an additional resurrection story, an additional resurrected appearance of Jesus, even though the end of chapter 20 ends very neatly with kind of a ribbon tied on it where John states and says that Jesus did many other things that are not written in this book, but these are written down that you might believe. And so John 20 has this beautiful closure, and we looked at one of those scenes last week with the resurrected Jesus appearing to the disciples who were in the locked room. That he comes back the following week and he appears to doubting Thomas and lets Thomas see and touch his wounds. And Thomas worships Jesus. And then the chapter ends with that statement. Jesus did a lot of other things, but this was written down so that you might believe. And then John adds this epilogue of sorts, this fishing story, because how else do you finish a gospel without adding a final chapter that tells about, and Jesus resurrected, goes fishing one day? But that's what we have in this story. John 21, we have the disciples who are gathered together, and they've seen the resurrected Jesus multiple times now. But on this day, Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the other guys go, "Well, we're going to go with you." And so they jump into the boat And they fish all night, and they fish like most of my experiences of fishing. Is it still fishing when you don't catch anything, right? They fish all night. And it's a failed experience. No luck. And as they're packing up their gear and kind of licking their wounds and coming back from an unsuccessful trip, they see a stranger out on the shoreline. And they're not quite sure who it is, but he calls out to them and asks how the fishing is going. Which, those of you who like to fish, and if you have a bad fishing trip, you always love when someone shows up to ask how many fish you caught, right? I think that's why it's very hard. How much truth do you actually get in a fishing tale? Because no one wants to say, we didn't get anything. Didn't work out. We didn't. We weren't good enough today. And the stranger calls out and says, well, why don't you try on the right side? And so they take the stranger's advice. They gear up again and cast their nets out on the right side. And a miracle happens. They have so much fish in their nets that they are unable to haul it in. And it's in that moment that the beloved disciple turns to Peter and says, it is the Lord, the stranger on the shoreline. It's our Master. It's Jesus. And Peter, caught up in the excitement of that news, jumps in the water ahead of the other disciples who bring their boat back to the shore. And sure enough, they find Jesus there. And he's already got breakfast ready for them after that long night. There's already a fish burning there on the coals, but Jesus asked them if they have some more. They're going to need some more in order to feed all of them together in this place. But it's after they finish eating that the story gets interesting here. John wasn't writing down just another adventure of Jesus and his disciples. He shares this story about restoring a life. And a conversation breaks out here in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said to Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Several years ago, the church where my dad is an elder at, the men there decided to have a men's fellowship. And they decided that what would be a great male bonding experience would be to go deep sea fishing together. Any deep sea fishermen here? Those of you who have been deep sea fishing may know that the further you go out sometimes, the bigger the waves get. And they were on a large boat, but the waves were rocking them about so much that the expedition to go fishing turned into an expedition to see who could actually keep their stomach down. In fact, I asked my dad about this trip recently, And he said, when I think back to, if I think about that trip right now, I will actually start feeling sick to my stomach. So the memories that they had together were about where they stood to lean overboard whenever they started to feel too wheezy or queasy there. It was a failed fishing experience. Jesus shows up here in the scene as the disciples have had a failed fishing experience and gives them this word, "Why don't you try again? Why don't you try again and see what happens on the other side here?" But we see that this story and the reason why it's in Scripture for us is as wonderful as it is to hear how they had that time together, a special time for them. The fishing scene was really a setup for this most important conversation. And you have to love the way the gospel tells us, because this is really how your life works. You're going about your life and you're going about your failures in life, and you're having to regather yourself and figure out what do you do next. You remember that Peter is the one who had the major failure of the apostles here. It's Peter. It's Peter who, before Jesus goes to the cross, who was the first one to speak up and say, "Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." But Jesus knew the failure that Peter was going to experience. It's Peter who would be asked three different times if he knew Jesus, and Peter would reply that dark night of Jesus' arrest, leading up to his crucifixion. It's Peter who each time he was asked would say, "I don't know the man," and finally even cursed, renouncing his belonging with Jesus. And even in those resurrection scenes, in those resurrection encounters, even as they have beheld the empty tomb and now they've seen the glorious risen body of Jesus and they see even His glorified wounds, and yet Jesus knows that Peter needs this talk. You've probably had some difficult talks from time to time that maybe you've tried to avoid. Maybe you've had some failed experiences or relationships and you feel yourself trying to avoid people. "I don't want to be around them. I'll just disappoint them again." I wonder if that wasn't the motivation this day whenever Peter decided, "You know what? I do a lot better with fish. I'm going fishing. I can't hurt them. I can't disappoint them as much." And at least he was hoping to succeed there, and then failure follows him in that adventure. But we see here that Jesus has this calling to the fallen, doesn't he? Have you noticed how much our culture loves to watch people fall? I think that made the television show America's Funniest Home Videos forever. How many different ways can somebody fall down? And it always seemed like it was dads, right? Dads fall out of their chair, or child swings and hits a baseball bat and knocks down dad, or whatever it is. In news daily, we're constantly having our news feeds filling us with, "Have you heard about the latest person?" Maybe it was a moral failure, maybe it was a failed marriage, maybe it was a failure in their business ventures, maybe it was, somehow their failure was found out and it becomes the news of the day, and it sells really well to talk about people's failures and to even add, kind of throw dirt when people fall down. If you want to gather a crowd, if you can watch somebody crash and burn, you'll get a crowd for that. But Jesus comes to Peter here, and in this conversation that unfolds, we see that Jesus desires a different crowd in a different community that he calls his church. And these are the ones who go to the fallen not to kick them down, not to look down on them, but to call them through love and to pick them up and to restore them. He comes to Peter with this piercing, wonderful, beautiful, even though it's a small statement, it's the breadth of the gospel, really. Peter, do you love me? You know, there are a lot of things that we pursue in life. There's a lot of different things that we do. But how you answer this question of Jesus is going to be the most significant. Do you love me? And Jesus doesn't come and ask this question three times to try to, Peter, remember how you blew it? I'm going to kind of passively come at you here and remind you of your failure. That's not what Jesus is doing. Instead, what Jesus is doing, and he does this for us too, is for each one of those missteps, I need you to know, A, that I love you and that I can pick you up each time that you fell. And so Jesus doesn't ask him the question once. He asks Peter the question three times so that for each failing that Peter had experienced when he blew it, Jesus is able to pick him up and say, and I still need you. I've called you more to go fishing out on the sea. I've called you to feed my sheep. And so Jesus does this beautiful thing with Peter. He picks him up and he restores his apostleship in a sense. We have in the Gospels the Great Commission in Matthew of sending out the apostles here. John wants us to know that the church is also about resending people. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this from people in the church throughout the years in ministry, where someone will come and they'll try and they'll burn out and they'll go, I tried, I guess I'm not good enough to be a Christian, I don't want to disappoint again, I don't want to mess up again, and so for risk of failure they avoid this deepness of shared relationship and service. But something that we come to learn about love is that love has to be something that you live out. Fish itself is not what you love. What you love is the Lord. And the Lord is calling you to live out your love. Take care of my sheep. Follow me. Live your love. This past week, we honored the lives of both Joe and Ruth Betts here. Great servants. They spent 50 years doing mission work in Japan, and I loved getting to hear the stories that were retold this week at their memorial. I particularly enjoyed what was said about Ruth. She kind of had a life motto that was shared at her service. It was said that Ruth would say, I love the Lord and I want to do what He wants me to do. That's why they served. That's why they went.
Jesus does the same thing with Peter here. Peter, if you love me, that's the essential. It's not about whether or not you're mistake-free. In fact, mistakes and falling is a part of the Christian journey, isn't it, church? It's a part of how we grow. It's a part of how we learn. It's a part of our process of following Jesus has its shares of falling along the way. But the Peter story here in this rescinding of Peter here is Christ's way of really giving the model of what the church is about. The church is filled with a people who have fallen, but Jesus has picked them up, who have made mistakes, but because of the love of Christ and because of their desire to share that love, they are sent once again, and they are called to serve once again. And God's will because of that love, because of that desire, because of that passion. I'm so thankful. I've shared this before, but you know, my grandfather, having that memory of going fishing with him so many years ago, I'm so thankful that God called him and gave him a second chance in his life. He was one of those who didn't come to faith in Jesus until towards the end of his life. But he gave him a second chance. And God does this over and over again. He calls us back again with that simple question, "Do you love me?" Then serve. Share in my will. Live out your love. This is an exciting day for us as we've taken up a collection to have our collection for those who will be going out this year to different countries to share the gospel, to share Jesus with others. They're not going because of duty. They're not going because they're trying to check off some kind of checklist of, if I do this, then God will love me and God will be pleased with me. They're doing it because God has loved them, and they love the Lord, and they want to share that. And so Jesus is letting them serve. You don't have to travel across the globe. You don't have to jump in a fishing boat. The one essential that's required here is your love for the Lord is what's needed to be able to serve the Lord. By giving your life and sharing it with others so that they too can know the love of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're wanting to know, what are some steps? What's next in my life? How do I respond to this calling of Jesus? Jesus came to Peter with that question, "Do you love me?" And it may be that Jesus is coming with that same question in your life today. If you're a Christian, what he may be saying to you is, live it out in your marriage. If you love me, live out your love for me in your marriage. To parents, he's saying, live out your love for me in your care and raising of your children. Children, he's saying the same thing to you. Live out your love in how you treat your family and those around you, or at your job. Or maybe Jesus is speaking to you if you feel like someone that's a stranger or far, you haven't come to know Christ yet. Maybe He's calling you to come to know Him today. To meet Him at the water's edge. To confess your faith in Jesus as Lord. To have your sins washed away in baptism. We have people that are here this morning, shepherds that are here this morning. If you want to learn more about faith in Jesus Christ, we'll have an opportunity. If you need prayer, if you want to start learning more about faith, learning more about prayer, we'll have people who can help you this morning here in the front and also in the back. If you have needs, you can come right now. Let's stand together and let's sing.